for some football.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Welcome to the FTN DataCast, the fantasy football podcast where data drives the discussion. Here are your hosts, Adam Pfeiffer and Tyler Lochner.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to the FTN DataCast. After a brief hiatus, we are back continuing our team previews. We had the NFC West last week, and now we move to the NFC East, which is always a fun division because nobody ever wins a division twice in a row. So we will break down two teams this week, and we're going to start with the Philadelphia Eagles, but have to rejoin Mr. Tyler Lochner. I was out on vacation all week, which is kind of rare for me. But Tyler, how are things? Haven't talked to you in a little bit. What's going on?
Things are good. I am still working my way through the series of most volatile and most consistent players at each position. So have been enjoying that, and I'm excited to dive back into the team by team previews with you. Hope you enjoyed your deserved time off.
I did. It was weird. I didn't bring my computer. I was literally away from my laptop for 4 days, and it just felt really, really odd. But then, back and ready to do some more fantasy football stuff. I mean, also it didn't help, or I guess I should say it did help that Underdog launched the puppy with Superflex the other day. I think it was yesterday. So yeah, it was they knew I was coming home yesterday and they were ready for me. So, in case you have missed or are new to the podcast, we started, like I said, the team previews last week with the NFC West. And we also did before that a bunch of positional preview pods that were really in depth. So check that out. Subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Really helps us out. We very much appreciate it. Let's get to the NFC East. Let's start with the Philadelphia Eagles, Tyler, who kind of surprisingly made the playoffs last year. Their schedule was relatively easy, but guess what? It's pretty easy again this season. And they've made some additions, right? You look at the Eagles, they probably had one of the best off seasons in the NFL via free agency trades and the draft, right? They bring in AJ Brown, obviously, who we'll talk about. They bring in, on the defensive side of the ball, Hassan Reddick. They trade for James or sign James or trade for James Bradbury. So they are looking like a team that, especially with the way Dallas has really not added anybody and lost players, they probably look like the front runner to win the NFC East. And it all starts with quarterback Jalen Hurts, who really is one of the most polarizing players in fantasy. We talked about this kind of in the same extent with Trey Lance for San Francisco, but we've already seen Jalen Hurts be an elite fantasy quarterback. So where do you rank Jalen Hurts? How should we view him going into the 2022 season, his second full season as a starter? It's hard to say anything other than he could be as good, if not better than last year, because the offensive line's elite, Devontae Smith's good, and they just added a top 12 receiver in the NFL.
Yeah, dude, the Eagles have had an amazing, amazing offseason. They completely fleeced the Saints in a trade. Which is kind of funny about that. When that trade happened, Adam Schefter sent out the most confusing tweet.
Yeah, isn't that the tweet that you replied on and it popped off?
I replied to it just simplifying what the trade was, and it just absolutely went nuclear. It was pretty funny. Anyway, I love what the Eagles have done. Adding AJ Brown is unbelievable. I know we've sung Brown's praise in the past. I have Hurts as my QB5 right now. I have Josh Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, and Jackson ahead of him. And then I have Hurts right ahead of Murray in my rankings. Honestly, though, I think you can put Hurts 4th, 5th, or 6th. And I think
you could put him 3rd too. I wouldn't even call you crazy if you did that.
It is hard for me to put him ahead of Allen, Mahomes, or Herbert. Maybe I could move him ahead of Herbert. I guess maybe even Mahomes too. So yeah, maybe you're not wrong about that. But Hurts is amazing. He scored the 6th most fantasy points per snap last year. It was behind Allen, Stafford, Mahomes, Trey Lance. Lance obviously only took a few snaps. On a per snap basis, he's unbelievable. He was super discounted last year. If you remember, he was the QB 10, maybe coming off draft boards. He's really not that much more expensive this year. He goes in that 5, 6, 7 range sometimes. I do have him ranked slightly higher than his current ADP, but I think I mentioned this stat on a previous one of our podcasts, but from weeks 1 to 11 last year, Hurts was actually the overall fantasy QB 1, which is you know, incredible. He scored at least 23 fantasy points in all but three of those games. He scored over 30 fantasy points in three of those games, over 25 in five of those games. He was incredible. He missed a couple weeks. He came back. He popped off against Washington, scored 32 fantasy points, tapered off in the championship weeks, which I think actually probably hurt a lot of people because you were starting him, right? And then week 16, week 17, it's not like he was bad, but he wasn't a top 10 fantasy quarterback those weeks. So it's kind of like a tale of two seasons. If you look at his first half of last year or weeks 1 through 10 from last year, he was absolutely incredible. Second half of the year, he had some pop-off weeks. He scored over 30 points. But then other than those two games where he scored over 30 points, he didn't top 20 points in any of the other games. So I think the jury is still out on him, but I'm a full believer. Like what he did the first half of the first 10, 11 weeks of last year is just was just the best. I mean, he was literally the best fantasy quarterback.
Yeah, and there was a stretch last season, I believe, where he was dealing with an ankle injury too, which definitely doesn't help. But like you said, like the floor is pretty massive, right? He had led all quarterbacks with 140, I believe, rushing attempts. Might have been even more, actually. And average, you know, the numbers were just astounding, right? Like you look at everything he did, 140 carries, led all quarterbacks, 9.5 carries per game, led all quarterbacks in red zone carries per game, had almost 800 rushing yards. Like, would you be surprised if we saw like a borderline 1,000 yards rushing from Jalen Hurts? Because
no,
exactly. And
I mean, that would be a lot, but it wouldn't like shock me.
Sure. And like the offensive line is one of the best in football, arguably the best in football. And what I'm interested to see is how much Philadelphia passes, because if you remember the start last season, they went super pass heavy, which was kind of surprising because the strength of this team is the offensive line and trying to run the football. And it was insane. Like in weeks 1 through 7, they called pass over 61% of the time. It was one of the highest rates in the NFL. And we saw Jalen Hurts throwing 37, 38, 40 times almost in a lot of these games. And then down the stretch in weeks, 11 through 16, from week 8 on, Philadelphia called run at the highest rate in football at 59.1%. So you bring in A.J. Brown, the Eagles are still going to be at worst like the 10th highest team in run rate, I would imagine. That's probably their floor. But like, where do we put them in terms of passing rate now that they bring in A.J. Brown? Because, you know, head coach Nick Sirianni clearly wanted to throw the football coming out of the gate last season. And mm-hmm. Now you had A.J. Brown. Like, I don't see a situation where they go, okay, we're just going to run 60% of the time again and have A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith get whatever targets we get in the passing game. Like, if Philadelphia, which I expect them to do, improves their passing rate a little bit, like, there's no reason Jalen Hurts can't be a top three quarterback in fantasy. Like, the massive ceiling and floor combination is awesome.
Yeah, 100% agree. I love Hurts. I'll draft him. I especially like him because he comes... I kind of consider him in that same tier, right? Like with those elite players, he has the same ceiling as all of them, but he's cheaper than all of them too. So I am definitely ending up with a lot of Hurts.
Yeah, I mean, at least 60 rushing yards in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You know, that's 8 games. That's a touchdown. That's like you're starting with a touchdown in half of his games almost, which is just, again, this just kind of attest to that massive floor. We'll talk about the receivers in a second, but like strictly for Jalen Hurts, what do you, because I know you're a huge fan of AJ Brown, what does that addition do for Jalen Hurts to kind of unlock the overall ceiling that we could see from him in year two?
Dude, it's hard to say unlocks the ceiling, because I actually, like, it's hard to get that much better than Hurts was, like scoring over 30 fantasy points, over 25 fantasy points basically every single week.
Sure, but like in terms of the passing production, but because he was under 200 passing yards.
Yeah, it's going to help the passing production
three,
for sure.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games under 200 passing yards.
Yeah, that will not happen again.
I agree.
It won't happen again. A.J. Brown is the alpha wide receiver one, exactly what you want, does everything everywhere on the field. And he's proven already, he proved it like instantly as a rookie. I think even his first game, he had like a 40 or 50 yard catch, but he's incredible after the catch. So he can score from anywhere on the field. And so I think you're going to see like Hurts could score he could get halfway to 200 yards and like one single drive or one single play with AJ Brown. Like there will be some 75 yard touchdowns with between the two of them this year.
Yeah. And we saw like the overall numbers aren't like amazing, but like Jalen Hurts has a pretty nice deep ball. Like there was that game against Denver where I think it was his best game of the season last year. Threw a bunch of great deep balls to Devonta Smith. One was to Quez Watkins right before halftime that he just dropped. It was like, it was honestly one of the best throws made by a quarterback last season. It was fantastic. So now you have AJ Brown, you have a second year from Devonta Smith, you have a top seven tight end in Dallas Goedert. And again, I can't stress this enough with Philadelphia, the best offensive line in football. Like, it's not even a question. They are amazing. So Jalen Hurts at worst should be like six, in my opinion, in anybody's quarterback rankings. If he's below that, I think you're getting a little bit too cute.
The Eagles did sling it with Hurts too. Like you mentioned, they came out passing a lot. I just looked up his average depth of target. Among qualified quarterbacks, he had the fourth highest average depth of target last year. So,
and that will change with AJ Brown. You say, okay, he's going to get deep shots. AJ Brown's also going to dominate off quick slants and everything like that. And it's just going to, he's just going to outrun guys like he's always done. So that's just going to help his overall efficiency for Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I mean, you look at his numbers last season where he had, what, 20, not even 20 passing touchdowns, 16 pass touchdowns. Like he's going to cruise past that, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, it's hard for any quarterback to throw 16 passing touchdowns. Like, I know he only had 432 attempts, but, like, I mean, what would you project him for pass attempts? Again, he had 432 last season in 15 games.
They were passing, you mentioned they were passing a lot. I don't know. He'll probably throw the ball. What would like five extra pass attempts per game end up being? Could be close to 525 pass attempts, 500, 525. I don't have
a projection in front of me. I was going to say 510. So
yeah, I think somewhere in that range. Could
see where Jeff has him projected.
Yeah, I'll look real quick.
Because like that's not insignificant. Again, that's like, you mentioned, that's like 45, 50 more passing attempts. And we know he's going to run for 600 to 900 yards. And his schedule, again, I'm not a huge schedule guy, but my goodness, like if you look at his early season schedule, it is as good as it gets. I mean, he starts with Detroit and he's got like Jacksonville. He obviously has games against Washington and the Giants. Like his schedule is fantastic.
Jeff has him projected for 482 pass attempts, which is lower than you and I are talking about. I think that might be, I do know Jeff often will have conservative estimates.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet it to go over 500.
But yeah, I think I'm with you. So
yeah,
Jalen Hurts, pretty clear for me as well. Top 5 to 6 quarterback at worst, with upside to be right behind Josh Allen and whoever you have as quarterback too, whether that's Herbert, whether that's Lamar Jackson, whether that's Patrick Mahomes, he's in that range. He's in that second tier for me. Let's go to the backfield with Miles Sanders, who I'm in on this season. Like we talked about Miles Sanders a little bit when we talked about the 49ers with Elijah Mitchell. I think he's literally Elijah Mitchell, but a couple rounds later. And it was like a bunch of different seasons in one season for Miles Sanders last year. He's shown the ability to be efficient as a runner. And you remember like 2 years ago, he was like a third round pick in fantasy and he completely did not deliver. And then last year was a disappointment, but it's hard to deliver when you score zero touchdowns. And I'm in on Miles Sanders. I'll let you talk about him before I kind of rant about him, because I really do like him. He's one of my favorite kind of like zero RB in that kind of range candidates. How do you feel about Sanders? How do you feel about this backfield? Again, behind an Eagles offensive line that, according to our numbers at FTN Fantasy, led the NFL in yards created per rush before first contact.
I'm not as big of a fan of Sanders this year as it sounds like you are. I wrote that article, the most consistent fantasy running backs from last year, which basically just turned into a list of the most boring fantasy running backs. And Sanders was third or fourth on that list. And actually, Jordan Howard was also top five. So it begs the question of how much of it was just the byproduct of the Eagles offense, maybe their scheme, maybe the talent around them, you know, whatever. But having two players from the same offense rank in the top five most consistent, and what that basically ended up meaning was players that didn't really have a ceiling. And Sanders did not have a ceiling. He very consistently scored between 6 to 10 fantasy points per game last year. And I think you're the one who completely blew my mind with it a couple of weeks ago, but like just the fact that Sanders did not score a touchdown on his volume is pretty wild. There were some games where he only had 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rush attempts, but then there were four games where he had at least 15 rush attempts. So, and he had one game with 24 rush attempts. He had 120 yards that game. The bottom line is his usage was just so inconsistent last year, and it really reflected in his fantasy performances. He only had 2 weeks as a top 12 fantasy running back, only 4 weeks as a top 24 fantasy running back. And then every other game, he was 33rd or worse. So he finished as like a flex option basically every single week. A few touchdowns, if we're like generous and we say he scores 5 or 6 touchdowns, then that salvages some of the weeks, but it bumps an RB36 week up to like maybe an RB20 week if you add a touchdown to some of those. And he's going as like the RB25 to RB30 in drafts right now. I'm just not a fan of it. I feel like his current draft range is kind of optimistic. They added AJ Brown. Jalen Hurts is still a threat to rush. We just talked about it. I think they're going to pass more. And I think Kenneth Gainwell is actually good.
So do I. I love Kenneth Gainwell. We'll talk about him in a minute.
The Eagles were using him in the red zone often last year. So like, I'm not even convinced that Sanders is going to, like I said, if we're being generous, he might score 6 touchdowns. I actually mean it. I think that might be generous. Last year for goal line rush attempts, Jalen Hurts had 13. Boston Scott had 12. Jordan Howard had 8. And then Miles Sanders was buried 4th at 6. So I just don't think they view him as a player to use in that area. And then if you're talking about, okay, they're going to pass more, I think that means more Kenneth Gainwell, because Gainwell had 11 red zone targets last year compared to Sanders, who only had 4. So those are all the reasons I don't like Sanders. I will throw in, I looked at our explosive run rate tool from last year, and Sanders performs well in that.
He's always been good there.
Yeah. He had 11 explosive runs, which ranked 9th in the NFL, and he gained 35% of his yards on explosive runs, which also ranked in the top 10. So that does actually mean that he has a ceiling, right? Because he could rip off a 60-yard touchdown. And it didn't happen last year. It will probably happen this year just through positive regression. So to me, it just makes me like him a little bit more, and like I might take a shot on him as a cheap running back in DFS or anything like that. But it would really frustrate me to have him as one of my season long running backs. But with my Debbie Downer attitude, now you can kind of lift him up a little bit.
No, I mean, you bring up some really valid points. Like the usage in the red zone does worry me a bit. Like you mentioned, Jalen Hurts had 13 carries inside the 5. For whatever reason, Boston Scott and Jordan Howard not only saw more opportunities, but were more efficient, obviously, because Sanders didn't score. But like, I love his ability to break long. Like, he's going to be, on a per carry basis, one of the most efficient running backs in the NFL. 5.1 yards per carry for his career. He's been top 15 in yards per touch his first 3 seasons in the NFL. And you mentioned that explosive run rate. In 2021, 35% of his rushing attempts went for 15 yards or more. 6th best rate in the NFL. 2020 and 2019, he was 11th and 9th in breakaway run rate. So like, the talent and the ability is clearly there for him. I do worry about also if he has he kind of reminds me of Elijah Mitchell, like I brought it up, but he's going later. Like, he's probably going to have a ceiling of 40 catches, especially because Kenneth Gainwell was playing in the 2-minute drill in his rookie season last season. But for me, keep in mind that we talked about the splits when the Eagles went very, very pass heavy to start the season and then went to the run in the second half. Weeks 1 through 7, when the Eagles were going so pass heavy, Sanders only averaged 9 carries per game when they called pass over 61% of the time. And then weeks 11 through 16, Sanders actually averaged 15 rushing attempts per game. And that was while leaving weeks 12 and 16 early with injuries. He played under 35% of snaps in both of those games. And like I mentioned, from week eight on last season, nobody ran the ball at a higher rate than Philadelphia. So for me, efficiency wise, he's going to be great behind this elite offensive line. He breaks off long runs.
Yeah.
if he can get 7-8 touchdowns, I think he's going to be a top 15 running back. And I just look at the running backs going ahead of him. Like, I don't feel great about Josh Jacobs. I don't feel great about Antonio Gibson. I don't feel great about Elijah Mitchell.
Yeah.
I would rather have Sanders over all three of those players, I think, especially, you know, where he's going in drafts. I think Gibson has a higher ceiling for sure. But and then like guys going around him or a little bit after, like Damien Harris, he's like the opposite of Miles Sanders, right? All he only gets touchdowns. And if those come down, he's, you know, really going to be frustrating. I have him very close with Devin Singletary. I think they're very similar, both efficient players. I think Sanders breaks off more long runs for sure. But obviously the offense caters towards Singletary more. But it's just one of those running backs that you, if you feel, you don't want Miles Sanders as your RB1 unless you're going a super zero RB approach and you have, you know, receivers, like receivers galore, especially in a three receiver league. But I just think there's upside for him where he's going. And I just like his situation a little bit more and where he's going in drafts more so than some of the running backs going ahead of him. So, but Kenneth Gainwell, I do like too. And he was one of my favorite running backs coming out of college last season or 2 years ago, I guess, at Memphis. They lined him up at receiver a ton. He played out wide, lined up against cornerbacks at Memphis and just won. He's really good. And is he going to carve out a consistent role to be a weekly flex in PPR leagues? Probably not unless something happens.
Yeah.
But if they do go more pass heavy, he'll have some weeks. And like I said, he was playing in the 2-minute drill and on third downs way more than Miles Sanders last season. So Kenny Gainwell's kind of in that range where you draft, you know, after some of the handcuff running backs, you draft him in the range of, you know, Damian Pierce, and you know, he'll have some PPR weeks. And if something happens, you'll feel good about him as a PPR flex. But if nothing changes, he's probably just a bench player, but like a bench player I don't mind having.
Yeah, I'm not drafting a ton of him. Just if Sanders and Boston Scott is still there, and Boston Scott's going to be annoying. He's going to score touchdowns. But Gainwell,
I have against the Giants.
He'll score like four.
Yeah, I have two in each game against the Giants.
I really like Gainwell in Dynasty. This is a contract year for Sanders.
That's another point I should have mentioned. Yeah, what if the Eagles just say, you know what, Miles Sanders, this is your final year. We're going to give you all the work. And then next year we'll go Kenneth Gainwell. We'll add another running back. Right. And then we won't there's a chance.
Now, that's what I expect to happen. I don't think the Eagles are going to keep. I don't think they're going to give him a second contract.
No, I don't see why they would.
So yeah, Gainwell is a good Dynasty buy and probably a decent buy low right now.
He's a great buy low in Dynasty. Yeah. And he showed the receiving ability last season, right? Like he was elite coming out of college as a receiver. And last year he was 1.73 yards per route run, which is top 12 among all running backs in the NFL.
And they like him near the goal line. Like they had designed 2-point plays just for him. Yeah. So
also lined up out wide 17% of the time last year, fourth highest rate among all running backs. So like I mentioned, what they did in college with Kenneth Gainwell at Memphis, the Eagles did a similar thing with him at the NFL level, and he was pretty successful. So yeah, I love the call of him, you know, as a dynasty buy low right now, because, you know, is he going to ever be a consistent 17 to 20 touch running back in the NFL? I don't know. I think he's good enough, but do teams view him in that role with his size? I don't know, but he's going to be on the Eagles team for the next couple years, and I don't think Miles Sanders will. So I like the call as a buy low. Let's get to the receivers. I'll let you talk about AJ Brown, because what a surprising fun move this was on draft night, the Eagles acquiring AJ Brown. And look, I mean, after DeVonta Smith, this was a really bad group of wide receivers. It was Quez Watkins. It was, I can't even name some of the other receivers they had off the top of my head, but it was bad. And now you all of a sudden have AJ Brown, DeVonta Smith, Zach Pascal, and then obviously Dallas Goedert. But we talked about it a lot with the receiver preview, so I'll kind of have you kind of reiterate that for anybody who missed it. But like, there are some concerns of, oh, AJ Brown's on a run first team. I mean, it's not anything new for him. It's not like he's ever been a consistent 10, 11, 12 target player. He's always lived in that 7, 8 target range and just lived off insane efficiency, because since entering the NFL, he's been one of the most efficient receivers in football.
Yeah, AJ Brown is a player that fantasy analysts and football fans love more than he's actually truly produced. And it's just because he has such an impressive ceiling and pop-off plays. If you look at his weekly production dating back to like the tail end of his rookie year, he was really, really low volume through most of his rookie year. He had some splash plays, but then he started to see more towards the end. And he hit, like, when he goes off, he scores 20 to 35 fantasy points. He's been a fantasy RB1 in 39% of his games, dating back to the end of his rookie year. But then he's also been a wide receiver 3 or worse. So wide receiver 25 or worse on a weekly basis, about 50% of the time. So he's actually been a pretty significant boomer bust player with a lot of weeks under 10, but then also a lot of weeks over 25 fantasy points. If you read my most volatile series, my most consistent series, these are the kind of players that I really, really love. The players that are more volatile, if you read the series, you will see the best names in fantasy football on the most volatile list. It's because they have the biggest ceilings. When you have huge ceilings, it just leads to volatility. But those huge ceilings will win you individual weeks. And just straight up winning an entire game, in fantasy football, I'm getting into a little bit of game theory here. But in fantasy football, scoring 10 points, 8 points in a single week, it might add up to a nice impressive ceiling by the end, or a nice impressive total points scored, or, oh, this player scored the 20th most points in fantasy football. But that player did not really help you win many games. And because it's a zero-sum game, like, you either win or you lose each week. You don't get credit for, like, almost beating your opponent. You want the players that are gonna pop off.
Yeah, like, second, third place is not what you're shooting for.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And then just in terms of stats, I know we talked a lot about this on the wide receiver preview. So if you want to hear us gush about AJ Brown for 10 minutes, go listen to that. But he has ranked second in air yards, air yard percentage, not air yards, air yard percentage. So the percentage of a team's air yards that went to that specific player. Last year, AJ Brown had 45% of Tennessee's air yards, which is ridiculous. In 2020, he had 42% of Tennessee's air yards. The only player that has had more air yard percentage than AJ Brown is Justin Jefferson, who is arguably the best, second best wide receiver in fantasy football right now. Brown has 28% target market share last year, a decent A dot, like an A dot that you mentioned it. He can take anything to the house, but his average depth of target is nearly 12. So it's not extremely high, but it's
like borderline league average.
Yeah. It's tricky because if you look at Brown's stats in total, they're really not that incredible because he's been hurt. He's missed a lot of time, or the Titans would run Derrick Henry 33 times a game. You mentioned he's just completely thrived on low volume, but what if the Eagles come out like they did at the beginning of last year and start throwing the ball a ton? What if our ceiling talk of Jalen Hurts with 525 pass attempts, AJ Brown gets 30% of those? What would that, maybe 30% aggressive. What if he gets 28% of them? He could go like 140, 150 targets.
Yeah. And
which is like, that would be easily a career high.
Yeah. That, like, I'd honestly be stunned if he got that high. But I think like 130, like if he gets 130, 125, like that's more than enough for a player of his caliber and of his efficiency. So yeah, I think for me, like, remember going into the season last year, he was pretty much being ranked where, like, for a lot of people, where like Jamar Chase is being ranked right now, and Devontae Adams, like wide receiver 4 to 5 or 3 to 6 in that range, because they didn't have Julio Jones at the time. It was like, who else are they going to throw to? Not the same here in Philadelphia, but like, I don't think the situation is too different. And I think the only difference is, like, you have to see if he's healthy. So for me, he's a, you know, high end wide receiver 2 for me, not in the wide receiver 1 range, but I have him around that, you know, 12, 13, or I guess 13, 14 is right around where I have him. A ton of upside still. And if AJ Brown plays like AJ Brown has a great year, then Jalen Hurts is going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback without question.
Easily,
and that might even be, you know, underselling it. So what about Devonta Smith, though? Because, you know, statistically wasn't like unbelievable last season as a rookie, but he showed that he's going to be able to play. Like, any sort of concerns about Devonta Smith with his size, will he be able to play? Like, first of all, that was a joke anyway, because he just is very tough to get your hands on in man coverage and press coverage. But, you know, still had 900 yards as a rookie, 5 touchdowns, 64 receptions, in a, again, in a run-heavy scheme. And we talked about this, I think, on the receiver preview, but over at FTN Fantasy, we have this awesome stat where it's created receptions, which are difficult receptions that require either excellent body control, excellent hands, acrobatics, or a combination of any of those. Devonta Smith had 10 such receptions. Only Terry McLaurin had more. Like, he showed that he can play elite football as a wide receiver at the NFL level. But is he like a wide receiver 3 for you right now with A.J. Brown there in town? Because if they're not throwing the ball out and they're throwing, and Jalen Hurts also 475, 485 times, like, what is that going to be? Just over 100 targets for Devonta Smith?
Yeah, I think that's where he was last year. I think he had 106 targets last year.
104. Wait,
104, sorry.
Same thing.
He, I was looking at Devonta Smith, and we were talking about how Hurts actually has an above average deep ball. And Smith and actually Quez Watkins both perform well on our deep receiving stats tool, where you can look at all stats on receivers that on their targets that were at least 20 yards in the air. So the ball was thrown at least 20 yards in the air. On deep balls, both Smith and Quez Watkins ranked in the top 15 among all wide receivers. And now you add AJ Brown to the mix. We could see like a bombs away offense here. You were talking about that. That gives me even more optimism that will happen, because Watkins and Smith were both effective on deep balls. Watkins caught 81% of his deep balls. Smith caught 64%. Both of those are high catch rates on deep balls. And then Smith in particular, he ranked in the top 5 among all qualified wide receivers on passer rating on deep balls. He had a 147.7 passer rating when targeted deep, which is actually incredible. So the volume is, he's not going to be like a second year breakout player, just because I don't think the volume is going to be there for that to happen. I think sticking in that same range of 100 to 115 targets is reasonable. And yeah, I do have him as a wide receiver 3. I have Devonta Smith as my wide receiver 32 right now. So I think he's a weekly starter.
Would you rather have
a flex player?
Yeah,
but
he's right in that range. Like, in a 3 receiver league, he's your 3rd receiver. In a 2 receiver league, he's maybe your flex.
But I don't think he has a ceiling to more. I don't think there's a path to it unless, you know, AJ Brown gets hurt.
Yeah, that's the only way. If AJ, which, to be fair, AJ Brown has obviously missed plenty of time. Yeah. He's somebody I struggle with because he's in a range of receivers that I do like. Like, I prefer slightly Adam Thielen over him, which I don't even know if that's like a hot take anymore, because I feel like people are just done with Adam Thielen.
Dude, but I'm drafting all the KJ Osborne.
Are you?
Yeah, I actually am. Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind it either, actually. But I would rather have Thielen. I'm gonna look up some of the receivers going in the same range as Devonta Smith, and I want to ask you who you prefer, because I haven't drafted him a ton just because of that reason. Like, is there a massive ceiling for Devonta Smith as a player? Yes. Like, if he's in another offense where he's the number one on a team that throws 580 times, yes, sign me up. He's an incredible player. But let's see. Devonta Smith going right around Elijah Moore, Drake London, Adam Thielen, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Michael Thomas, Russell Gage. Who do you like the most from that? Like, is Devonta Smith number one for you? Or do you prefer, like, I would prefer Elijah Moore. I would prefer London's tough because they're going to throw the ball like 100 times more than Eagles. But
so my current rankings, you literally mentioned 4 players that I have back to back to back to back. Okay. Right now I have London, Smith, Moore, and then Thomas. I will do an update. I will probably move Moore ahead of Smith. I don't think I will move Drake, or I will keep Drake London ahead of Smith. And then Michael Thomas, I might move down because he like isn't even participating in drills still. So I'm souring on him some more. I think if he starts in training camp, I'll move him back up. But yeah, he's in that range. To be completely honest, I don't like totally love that range. I would rather wait a little bit for Brandon Ayuk or Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yeah, I like
Even like Russell Gage.
Exactly. Like, I love the range a little bit after that, where you have Russell Gage, Alan Lazard, Tony, Chase Claypool, Tyler Boyd. Like, that's the range I really like. So that range of receivers is probably where I already have a handful anyway, and I'm probably looking at tight end, maybe quarterback, and then just adding some more running backs. But like, if you look at ceiling from that range, like, again, not you know, not expecting an injury or missed time from AJ Brown, I don't know if Devonta Smith's ceiling is as high as, like, it might be higher than Amon-Ra, but is it higher than London's? I don't think so.
Yeah.
Thielen can just have a higher ceiling just because he can score 12 touchdowns on 120 targets. I don't think it's higher than Elijah Moore. Michael Thomas, it's definitely not higher than if he's healthy. And, I mean, right now, Russell Gage's ceiling might be just as high. So,
yeah.
I like Devonta Smith a lot. It's just not the situation right now where he projects anything more than a wide receiver 3/flex. Any other thoughts on the receivers before we close out with tight end? I mean, it's not much else. I like Zach Pascal as a player. I like the signing. It was obviously well before the AJ Brown move, but he's going to be a rotational third receiver for this team and not going to be somebody who starts in fantasy. It's really
it. My only takeaway from it is if I'm drafting early, like first, second, third, and I take a running back, then you can usually get AJ Brown on the following turn.
AJ Brown is always there if you have, yeah, like you said, like I've seen so many 101 builds where it goes Taylor and then like AJ Brown, T. Higgins, or AJ Brown, Keenan Allen or something.
My current favorite best ball, what is it called? Best Ball Mania 3 team. I started McCaffrey, obviously, from the 101.
What a terrible selection.
And then I drafted Higgins Brown on the turn.
It's a very popular build, is whatever player you like most at 101. Mm-hmm. And then AJ Brown's I don't say always, but he's usually like,
he's usually
a top
there.
Three pick in the second round, which is perfectly fine.
So
I would prefer Higgins, though. I would prefer Keenan Allen, but Brown's ceiling is immense. So
yeah.
All right, tight end. The last couple of off seasons going into the year for the Eagles, we've seen, you know, it's Dallas Goedert. He's a better player than Zach Ertz, but he's been a part-time player. And then last season, they finally made the move to trade Zach Ertz to Arizona. And Dallas Goedert, you know, he played 11 games with Ertz out of the lineup last season. He played 5 games with Ertz, and in those games, he averaged, you know, 3 more targets, a reception and a half more per game. The yards went up by like 20, and he averaged 12 PPR points per game compared to 9.7 with Ertz in the lineup. So for me, Dallas Goedert's kind of similar to Devonta Smith, where he's like clearly a top 8 tight end because the position's awful and Goddard's good. But like, he had like a 24-25% target share after Ertz was traded last season. That's obviously not happening this season, but you'll feel pretty good about Goddard most weeks. I think we talked about this in a tight end preview. Like, didn't you mention like his red zone usage was not good?
Yeah. And I also mentioned that he was just like actually a better football player than I thought.
Oh yeah. He's been better than Ertz for like 3 years now.
Yeah. He actually finished right behind Ertz in fantasy points by, I think, a fraction of a point, but he also played one fewer game. But in terms of his red zone usage, Goddard was actually, he was second in red zone targets. Only Devontae Smith had more. Smith had 24, Goddard had 19. But he was horrendous in end zone targets. Devontae Smith had 10. Greg Ward had 6, so random. Quez Watkins had 4, and then Dallas Goedert only had 2 end zone targets. So, yeah, the end zone target usage was bad and might not get better with AJ Brown now. But it's a weird dichotomy to see 19 red zone targets, but only 2 end zone targets. So, I mean, maybe he is a candidate for positive touchdown regression, but I like Goddard. I like the range he goes. I think you can wait a decently long time to get him and you still feel happy with him on your team. But I'm not drafting as much of him this year.
He's in such a tough range for me. Because I'm taking Hockenson over him and I'm taking Dalton Schultz over him and somewhat of that same range. And then I'm preferring just wait on Zach Ertz or some of the other tight ends later.
Well, here's why I like him in that range, because I don't care if it's Hockenson, Schultz, or Goddard. Like, to me, they're all basically the same and Goddard goes after them. So
that's fair. I have Schultz. The difference is I have Schultz significantly higher than Goddard.
Yeah. But the reason I'm not drafting a ton of him is not because I don't like him or I think he's appropriately priced. I just really like the expensive tight ends this year.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Gronk now gone, like I was drafting so much Gronk, RIP all of those teams.
Oh, we should have led with that, man.
God. he was so cheap for like a player that would have finished top five.
I'm just going to say this. I wouldn't completely take Gronk out of your player pool. I would still maybe draft him at the end of drafts now that he's going to go undrafted because like, would anybody be surprised if it's week seven and Gronk's like, I'm coming back.
The Bucks are 6-0 or 6-1 and he comes back. Yeah.
He watches Brady throw like four touchdowns at Cameron Brate the first 7 weeks. And he's like, I miss spiking the ball.
I don't know, man. He already did it once.
That's true. I forgot this is the second time, but yeah, I mean like, Goddard's fine. I think he's going to be like a good yardage guy. And if the end zone targets go up, the touchdowns will obviously go up as well, you would expect. But I don't know if I've drafted him much at all just because of the range he goes in. But like, I obviously feel a lot better about him than Pat Freiermuth and Mike Gesicki and right. Hunter Henry yeah. and Irv Smith and Cole Kmet, who, again, a lot of those late tight ends I like. But Goddard's pretty safe, in my opinion. He's been a good yardage player. He's always been good in terms of, he's always been a good tight end in terms of ADOT and everything, but again, we talked about it with DeMonta Smith, like how many targets we project for Dallas Goedert. Like, still, his route participation, everything will be great, but he's going to be a full-time player, which is all you can ask for at tight end, and he's a talented player. But I just think the ceiling is, like, I'd be surprised if he finishes a top five tight end, but I'd also be surprised if he finishes, like, the tight end 12, 13. He should be right in that, like, 6 to 9, 6 to 10 range.
I think that's fair.
Anything else from the Philadelphia Eagles? I think they should be the favorite in the NFC East, especially after Dallas has had a pretty bad offseason. Washington.
Yeah, but Dallas has Dak Daddy.
They do have the best quarterback in the division, which is always helpful.
Now, the Eagles should be fun this year. You mentioned it. They have an awesome offensive line. I think we have an FTN fantasy offensive line rankings.
Yeah.
We rank them number one.
They're so good. Like,
they're really good.
Like, it's not fun to talk about it. I actually love talking about offensive line play for fantasy, but I mean, Jordan Mailata, the step he took last season, because it was supposed to be Andre Dillard being the left tackle of the future for Jason Peters. Dillard didn't pan out, but then they got Mailata, who really just emerges as a borderline top tier tackle. You have Kelsey and Lane Johnson, who are elite. You also have depth too. Like, Dillard's still there at left tackle as a depth piece. Like, they're really, really good up front, and that's going to set the tone for everything else. Like, that's why I like Miles Sanders. That's why I love Jalen Hurts. That's why everything in this offense should help, and they should be a really fun team. Their schedule, like I said, is really, really, really favorable. Real quick before we get out of here, I want to pull up their schedule. Again, I've mentioned this. I'm not a massive schedule fan. I think it can be a little bit overrated at times, but there's also times we look at it and say, wow, yeah, I can't even lie like that. Like, at Detroit, Minnesota, at Washington, Jacksonville, at Arizona, who have no secondary and lost Chandler Jones, Dallas, bye week, Pittsburgh's not great, then at Houston, Washington, at the Colts isn't great, but it's not terrible, Green Bay, Tennessee, Giants, Bears, Cowboys, Saints, like they are in a great spot to have some great matchups throughout the season.
I like it.
That'll do it for the Philadelphia Eagles as we kick off the NFC East in our 2022 team preview series here on the FTN DataCast. Again, check out FTN Fantasy, FTN Daily, and FTNBets.com. At FTN Fantasy, we have a ton of great content coming up. We're continuing our sleepers, busts, and bets series. Tyler's doing his most consistent and most volatile players. I'm going to be starting a coaching breakdown with tendencies, play calling, pace, all that great stuff. That'll start next week. And I'll also be doing some rankings of the top coaching staffs in the NFL, whether you combine head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. That'll be fun. It's that time, man. Like I said, it's the middle of June or towards the end of June, actually, as I look at the calendar and surprise myself, you know, your season long draft's like a month away. So we'll have preseason starting up, training camp. It is an exciting time. So make sure you keep it locked here at the FTN DataCast presented by the FTN Network. For Tyler, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening as always. We'll see you guys next time as we preview the New York Giants here on the FTN DataCast.
Thanks for listening to the FTN DataCast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And follow the hosts on Twitter at @APfeiffer24 and @LochnerNFL.